We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Ken, tell us, what do you think the most important takeaway is from your inquiry into waste and fraud in state spending in Rhode Island?
I think the best takeaway is to raise awareness of the problem and to ensure that there's active endeavors underway to root it out and to address it and to get recoveries where you can. It's really crucially important that taxpayer dollars are protected in the best way possible, and this is a really good push to make sure we're doing the right thing with those dollars.
Now, we know there's some gaming of the system, both at the high end and low end of the economy. There are some years in which General Electric pays almost no taxes, and it probably wouldn't shock people to find there is some cheating in the food stamp system. Do your findings reflect what a reasonable person might expect?
So, yeah, and we discussed retailer-based food stamp fraud. We discussed a number of different issues within the Medicaid system. We did not talk in great detail about any individual related things, because where there is that sort of thing, those efforts are ongoing and they frequently involve ongoing investigations. You just don't get into those sorts of things.
How do you think the governor's handled this? He has gone to the prosecutors with this stuff.
In those 18 pages, you touch a bunch of different state agencies. You touch a bunch of different federal agencies. You have numerous different law enforcement, and to pull all that together and get it organized and get ready to go is a colossal challenge, and I've been living it for a long time. So I think that the complexity of this was hard for everybody to deal with. I understand why it took some time to get it out the door.
So you're saying the governor has not dropped the ball on this?
No, I think it was a huge push to get this thing out, and I'm glad that it's out now.
You've made a big issue out of trying to abolish the master lever in Rhode Island. How much of an impact would that really make if the master lever was done away with?
Look, it is a common sense reform. Everybody, wink, wink, nod, nod, knows that the master lever is a bogus thing and it needs to go.
Sure, it's common sense.
And it speaks to the political culture and climate in this state. So outsiders looking in want to know, do we have a transparent legislature or do we not? We definitely do not right now. And one of the factors to that is the existence of the master lever. Ethics Commission is another no-brainer thing that we have to get done. And as long as we don't get these things done, or they require a Superman-like effort to get them to go away, it really negatively impacts how we're perceived.
Well, speaking of the Ethics Commission, that's probably an abstract issue for a lot of people, but the voters have heard on in 1986 backed that idea. The commission has been in a deep freeze in its ability to police the legislature due to a state Supreme Court opinion. How would you describe the impact on policy and politics of the current status of the Ethics Commission in Rhode Island?
I believe 38 Studios does not happen had the Ethics Commission been able to exert their influence on legislative doings, for sure. I think we need a watchdog in this state. I believe the voters in 1986 clearly indicated that that's what they wanted. And, our I'm going to call it our polluted political culture has managed to work out a way so that that oversight is gone right now. And it's a fight and a push, but I think we have to reclaim that oversight in general to make sure that we keep things on an even keel and that we operate our government wholly above board.
You know, this master lever thing is your issue. I understand why. If I was a third party, I would definitely be for it. And sure, I think it's probably a good thing to do, if for no other reason that the right-wing crazies will have to blame something else when the blue state Rhode Island electorate prevails. Now, we had people for years and years in this state with split tickets. John Chafee, Pell, Pastore, both parties. The Democrats have not elected a governor since 1992. Isn't it really facile for you to say that people are just voting? We're a split ticket state and so have been for many, many years.
The top seats, whether it's presidential or gubernatorial, are not what's impacted by the master lever. They drive what happens down ticket. So where the negative impact of the master lever is felt is at the city and town council races. And when we went through all of the Boroughville ballots, all 11,500 pieces of paper, and we extracted the master lever ballots, what we determined was master lever voters undervoted the town council race more than at twice the rate than non-master lever votes. So what that means is those voters were not casting valid votes for a town council race at a rate twice those who weren't using the mass deliver. Because of that voter disenfranchisement and because of that candidate disenfranchisement, that is why the mass deliver must go.
But 20% of the people in the state used it in the last election.
And in the last election, 8,653 moderate party mass deliver voters voted for the mass deliver for the moderate party on ballots where there was not a single moderate candidate, which means they don't know what the heck they're doing.
Or maybe they were just protesting.
There's no protest. They're indicating their political philosophy, and that's not what the mass deliver is supposed to be used for.
Ken, you ran for governor in 2010. You've obviously stayed involved, as we've heard, on issues like waste and fraud and the mass deliver. Why don't we see more business people exhibiting the same kind of civic impulse?
I've been working with certain aspects of the business community, trying to get them more involved. And we've seen the Small Business Association of New England step up and put forth a very detailed economic development plan that's been pitched inside the General Assembly. So I think, it takes a little bit of courage and it takes time, which is it's a little bit hard to get out of the business community, both of those things. I think it's an issue that will evolve. And I think that you're going to see greater involvement from the business community as things move ahead.
How do you build more support for the kind of citizen reform movement that you're trying to build in terms of to the point where it can really impact the General Assembly?
I believe by leading by example.
You know, why don't you spend more time, and the Republicans also, recruiting good candidates? If you put all the energy into getting good candidates to run that you put into this master lever stuff, you might actually have candidates that people want to vote for.
And how do you know I haven't put massive amounts of energy into recruiting good candidates?
Well, they're not running.
Okay. So the question is, and they don't run because they feel they have an uneven playing field to run under. And you have some basic foundational things that you need to fix to clear the decks for them. That's what I'm in the process of doing.
Ken, you recently became president of a conservative-leaning taxpayers group, the Rhode Island Taxpayers, that started as an advocacy group for shoreline owners, homeowners in South County. Does that detract from your efforts to build a centrist political party here in Rhode Island?
I became the president of a rebranded, moved to the center organization that advocates for taxpayer-related issues. It is a statewide organization. We do not exhibit political leanings in this group from this point forward. And what we're interested in and what we are most focused on advocating for is ensuring that all taxpayer issues are well advocated for at the State House.
You got, I believe, 6% of the gubernatorial vote.
6.5%.
Okay, excuse me. And if that vote had gone to John Robitaille, he'd be governor right now. So do your efforts hurt the Republican Party?
Who's to say that those votes went to John Robitaille?
You don't think they would have gone to John Robitaille?
I think some of them went to Robitaille. I think many more of them would have gone to Frank Caprio. And I know a good chunk would have gone to Governor Chafee.
You know, I'm wondering, I was talking to a labor leader the other day, said that you've been going around the state calling for the abolishment of the TDI, the Temporary Disability Insurance System. And I'm wondering how this might impact the average person who, gets sick on the job and needs to rehab.
Yeah, well, that's a spin on what I've said. What I've said was the TDI program is among the most expensive TDI programs in the country. It represents a $720 annual tax burden to anybody who makes $60,000 or more a year. For a $30,000 wage earner, it represents a $360 tax. And I believe the appropriate question to ask is, why is it so expensive? I know and I've learned that there's a lot of abuse in that program. We have a lot of repeat users who go out on TDI at the same time of year, every year, from the same doctor, year after year after year. That's what drives the cost up. If you stop the monkey business and you drive the cost down, everybody wins, and that's a good thing.
Why don't you go after that instead of food stamps?
I'm going after everything.
Ken, the last time we had you in, it sounded like you were leaning toward a run for governor in 2014. Is it wrong to draw that inference?
What I told you last time specifically was I'm looking at it and I'm trying to figure it all out. I still am. I'm sure you appreciate how difficult that decision is and what the implications are if you do decide to jump in and go all the way through with it. It's not a decision that you undertake lightly. I haven't raised a dime towards any effort that may or may not happen at this point, and I'm just trying to figure it all out. I don't do it unless there's a way to win this race, and I'm trying to figure out if it's possible to do that and raise the money to be successful at it.
You've arguably been the winner of the news cycle this week in Rhode Island. You've been at the center of a lot of big stories. Does this expand your ability to have an impact in Rhode Island?
The I am trying to cast as big an impact as can be cast. I think it's important to have citizen involvement. I want to lead the way via the Moderate Party to get other good people involved in advocating and helping to fix these issues. I think that the way we fix what's ailing Rhode Island is to get a whole bunch more and new people involved in how our state is governed and how it runs.
Why do you think Massachusetts' economy is so much better than ours, even though they have more generous social safety net programs, such as universal health insurance?
They have the foundations in place and we don't.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Ken Block, the founder and head of the Moderate Party of Rhode Island.
Thank you.